Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests. My name is Dimitris Koukas. It's a great honor to participate in the second Capital Link Forum in Shanghai. And I thank Nicholas and his team for orchestrating a very good event once more. I've been in various Capital Links in Athens, in New York, and other places, and I'm very happy to participate also today. I've been involved personally through our company Optima in China for the past 15 years, so I was a witness of the biggest marvel in 21st century business-wise. Certainly this is the heart of the shipping activity, and nobody can live without China today as a business partner, or anyway, somehow we are all related to this. Our office has placed orders for more than $3 billion during this presence, and we have experienced very good synergies. And this is one of my best, strategic moves to come to Shanghai at an early stage. We have seen tremendous difference in improvement in the shipping sector in China. The learning curve these 15 years has been phenomenal. And today we feel more and more that China is close to the general international concept of shipping. I'm very pleased to have with us a panel of distinguished members of the shipping community, and I would like each and everyone to introduce themselves. Pierre, please start.
Thank you. Do you hear me? Yeah. Pierre Dijk, working for Exmar. Exmar, a Belgium group, stock listed. We've been working in Exmar for the last 30 years. So this will be November. I hope, despite the very bad markets, that I will still get this golden watch, but I doubt. So that is what we are. We are involved in LPG, LNG business infrastructure, which is regasification and liquefaction. And in today's market also, but unfortunately, which we have heard, also in offshore.
I'm Ian Weber, Global Ship Lease. We're a US-listed container ship owner. Two customers, CMA CGM and OOCL. We've been around for only 10 years, but we're excited about the prospects for the container ship sector, notwithstanding the current or most recent downturn.
And I am Nikos Reskos. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Ocean Bulk Group and Star Bulk Carriers. We're in dry bulk, one of the major listed dry bulk companies, involved in product tankers and large container carriers.
Hello, everyone. I'm Harry Kosmatos. I'm a Corporate Development Officer of Tsakos Energy Navigation, a New York publicly listed company. We own a fleet of 65 vessels in all categories in the tanker space, from all types on crude, all types on the product side, plus some LNG and shuttle tanker exposure.
Ni hao. And hi, everybody. I'm Kyriakos Panagidis from AEL Shipping, Managing Director. We are in the multi-purpose heavy lift project specialist industry. And with this opportunity, I would like to thank Capital Link, because the sector of multi-purpose and project shipping is not present in this forum. So this is the first time. So on behalf of the entire sector of project cargo and heavy lift industry, I would like to thank Capital Link for the invitation, especially Nikos. And we are in this business for 22 years. Since our inception, we have been dealing with China. And as Dimitri said, we cannot live without China.
Thank you all, gentlemen. you know, I'm not running for president, but you know, somebody used the motto and became president by saying, let's make America great again. Let's try all of us to make shipping great again. And this is by synergies. On a commercial level, we have this tremendous opportunity. But the whole idea is that the Capital Link team didn't invite this panel by accident. So we would like first to each one to share the, let's say, the experience so far. So I would like to, Kyriako, since you were the fresh to finish, what has been the past experience so far with you and your company in China?
Well, as you said in your introduction, there's been a phenomenal improvement, phenomenal revolution of China into our sector, which is the heavy lift multi-purpose sector. Remembering the early days, most of the project cargo and most of the multi-purpose cargo was basically manufactured or fabricated in China and all the way up to the global arena, where over the last 15 years we see a huge phenomenal evolution whereby China is more involved in the stakeholding from the construction towards the logistics, towards the ocean transportation, more and more involved. Year by year we see much more significant contribution and significant stakeholding to the entire sector of multi-purpose and projects. And it has been quite an interesting revolution over the years. Much of the cargo and logistics and much of the transportation have changed ever since. And now China becoming a global player in both construction, procurement, engineering projects towards the freight forwarding, towards the ocean transportation. It's been really a remarkable change of the sector era, actually.
Yeah, that's a quite in-depth experience, let's say. Harris, you are part of one of the most prominent shipping family groups. I mean, you are listed in New York Stock Exchange, but the legacy of especially Panagiotis Tsakos and Nikos is a very, you know, high standard in the industry. What has been the experience of your group generally with China?
Well, I cannot profess that we have a great and in-depth experience in China, only because by virtue of how the company developed, it had to develop elsewhere. What is of interest, however, is that China, and from the angle that we're looking into this market, and that is the financial angle, is becoming more and more important compared to what we had seen, you know, a year or two back. It's a completely different world, and I see this developing, you know, before our eyes as we speak. We could all close our eyes and think that this conference is taking place in New York. I listened to all the panels earlier. How the local community here approaches the financial capabilities of this market, and it really gives you, it fills you with excitement. It's an area that I think we should shouldn't be allowed to ignore. It's a developing market. It's for companies like ourselves. It's a market that we need to explore. We are always on the lookout for new sources of capital, and what we see here could add another arrow in our quiver. It's something that could be of interest, and we are very excited to explore opportunities in expanding and establishing a relationship with China, particularly on this front, the financial front.
Thank you. Nico, you have been extremely active because we met quite a few times in the plane in your trips to China the past few years. What has been your experience?
Well, the company has been around for almost 30 years. Over the last 10 years, we've been busy with Chinese counterparties in chartering and selling vessels. But especially over the last 5 to 6 years, we've been one of the most active players in the new building market in China. Some people didn't like us back then for that, but we built 34 ships in major Chinese yards. We have raised a total of almost $1 billion in financing, both in traditional Chinese bank finance as well as Chinese leasing and ECA finance. We have now set up a new office in China a couple of months ago. We believe that we are past the developing stage of the market. We're dealing now with a very mature financing market. We're dealing with a shipbuilding market that has changed dramatically since 2007, when we're discussing with almost 400 shipyards. Today we're talking about a white list of no more than 20. Chinese financing has become very sophisticated, very competitive compared to the Western bank financing. So we're very happy to be here, and we're going to be investing a lot of time and effort in the market going forward.
In the end, you've been dealing in container business with one of the biggest players. What has been your experience so far with China?
Well, our experience is in a couple of directions, just echoing what Nikos said about Chinese shipbuilding and ship maintenance. Wherever possible, we will dry dock our vessels in China. The quality is excellent and the cost is very competitive. But I guess the focus of this conference is financing and leasing. We spent quite a lot of time 3 and 4 years ago trying to create a joint venture with local Chinese partners. Unfortunately, the timing was wrong. I wish it had been otherwise, because I think we would have been in a fantastic position now with the increasing sophistication and understanding of the financing model and container ship industry in particular. But we remain extremely optimistic for the future and future cooperation between Global Ship Lease and similar Western European, North American companies with Chinese lease cos in the same way that they are cooperating with themselves and with each other to develop different products to meet their customers' needs.
And Pierre, for you?
Now I can finish and probably start again afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Exmar, a bit like Starbulk, we have been very much involved on shipbuilding in China for the service groups, be it on containers, be it on dry cargo, and recently also on FSRU and FLNGs. That will change. We'll come back on opportunities later. We have also opened an office since some years, but was more for engineering and constructing. But from now onwards, and I will be also coming a bit more to China, so I will pick up some Chinese. I can already say Pijo for a beer, so I can survive. But we'll come back on the opportunities in a second.
And since you got the point to continue, where actually do you see the cooperation between the Chinese and the non-Chinese interests in the future, and why?
The opportunities we see, hence opening the office in Shanghai, is very much because of, in our case, and Nikos might say, yes, you're talking against my shop, but we see the air pollution as an issue here in China. I've been here spending some months already. It's not always that pleasant. So I believe also Xi Jinping has said in his 13th five-year plan that there should be more gas consumed in China, be it for industrial use, domestic and other purposes. We don't intend to build an onshore regasification plant that we leave to others, but the scope we have in our company, and not only in Exmar, but we see that also in BW, like Lifehook, Golar, Accelerate, is more floating regasification units, which can be built and operate much faster than a terminal. Even in China, to build an onshore regasification plant, with all the permits and the engineering, it can take up to 3-4 years, whilst when we have units on order, which will be delivered soon, within 12 months we can basically be operational and send gas to the Chinese markets. That we see as a huge opportunity is confirmed by the Chinese government, so we will work hard on that to bring more cleaner energy to the Chinese market.
In the end, from your perspective, how do you see this cooperation between Chinese and non-Chinese getting on?
Sure, and no one has a monopoly of wisdom. We can learn from Chinese financiers, and hopefully they can learn from us. As the Chinese finance industry expands, it's going to have to diversify. It's not going to be able, and I'm talking about the container ship sector only, it's not going to be able to continue to finance only new buildings, only with the top three charterers, and only on a, albeit operating or finance lease basis, but only bare boat charters. We have a fleet of small and medium-sized second-hand ships. We're experienced in looking at and managing residual value. We're experienced in managing the operating costs. We offer time charters, not bareboat charters. And I think companies like ours could help Chinese leasecos diversify their product offering.
I would agree with Ian, and I think everyone is here because of Chinese financing. That's number one. The industry has lost about 145 billion of ability to finance from the Western banks over the last 5 years. Thankfully, the Chinese banks and leasing companies have come in with about 85 billion. Of course, at lower asset prices than a few years ago, so there is still availability of financing. But this is a starting point for a cooperation between Chinese and non-Chinese counterparties. On top of that, all major sectors, dry bulk has doubled over the last 10 years in volume, in trade growth. Tankers are 2.5 times up, containers are almost double. So there is space for new business. We see the environmental challenges from different perspectives, of course, but any turbulence and moving away from traditional fuels or need to be more green will bring opportunities. And we are talking to various shipyards. There's developments here. And I also see a lot of cooperation between both Chinese ship owners and Chinese banks with Western ship owners, combining expertise of financing and, of course, very competitive rates versus other structures, and the expertise offered in the West in terms of ship management and commercial ability. So we feel very strongly for the next few years on that front.
Harry, how about yourself?
No, this is a very optimal time to be talking about Chinese financing. Chinese financing is making its presence felt probably at the very best, at the very right time. It's filling a void, as Nico said, their lack of capital in the European markets is creating the need for additional sources. It's very important for the Chinese institutions to remain qualitative in their approach rather than quantitative. We need to be; they need to be quite, you know, restricted in who they offer that financing, because we all know in shipping what the easy availability of finance could do to the market. So it's very important that this market is given to the right people. We have seen. You know, we talked about diversification. This is important. We need to see, further diversification and more flexibility. It seems that the Chinese financial houses are moving in the right direction. In the beginning, they were quite restricted in what they could do. Now we're seeing that they're. The menu, the offer, it's more widespread. Before, there were strict. Kind of finance leases. Now we're into more flexible operating leases. We're seeing financial institutions interested in taking a physical asset risk. They talk about joint ventures. So they are. This is probably the best of times to be talking about alternative source of capital. But again, I stress it's very important to be to pay attention on the qualitative. On the qualitative aspect of the business, and also to perhaps we need to work together in making such a process on the financing. And again, we are kind of newcomers into this market, or probably other companies here would know better, but it seems that we need to work on the bureaucratic aspect a little bit. We need to make sure that when we enter into an agreement or a deal, this will finish in an optimal, in a timely fashion. You know, in shipping, a week is very long in shipping, let alone a few months. So we need to be sure that when something kind of when a discussion gets underway, it will not get protracted to eternity. We need to close quickly.
That's a very valid point, is for constructive business, because the time is of essence. Pierre, you wish to add something?
Yeah, just what you say, Harris, on the bureaucracy. We have been hearing about financing, which people hoping to go for 3 months, but it takes sometimes 9 to 12 months, even more, I heard 18 months. The same happens also on shipping, on shipbuilding. It takes a long time before you can really get a deal, even if you do deal with the big companies, and it's CNOOC, CNPC, and Sinopec, which are basically controlling the LNG markets. Once they strike a deal, you have a deal with the shipyard, and you still have to go to NDRC, the National Development Reform Commission, which might again take 6 to 12 months. And that is what I call the bureaucracy. It takes a long time. The potential, we all agree, is huge, but you have to be patient.
I mean, I don't know if it's the right example, but last month we raised $115 million in New York in 3 hours.
Yeah. in New York, yes.
Kiriago, do you wish to add anything?
Well, on the Chinese financing, let's put it this way, especially when it comes to projects, and when I'm talking about projects, I'm talking about projects about oil and gas projects, mining projects, infrastructure, renewables, energy. So if you see the project industry, it's barely nothing there. There's not much moving other than infrastructure and some energy. So on the infrastructure front, all these projects that several nations are basically financing, it's Chinese money. And it's Chinese funding that basically keep us moving. And it's Chinese money that basically puts some infrastructure and some development in certain nations. And we are very grateful for that, that there is still some Chinese money. And then since China entered the global arena, it keeps the economies moving. So on the financing, basically we are dependent much on China financing. Following that, of course, through financing on the government level, there comes the Chinese EPCs, the engineering, procurement, construction companies that they enter the global arena and taking overall control and construction of the major projects. So following that, then we get to see Chinese freight forwarders get involved in the logistics of the whole projects. And following that, over the last years, we see Chinese operators getting also involved in the ocean transportation. So this is what I said before, that it's a new era also in our sector, that when we started some 20 years, 30 years back, it was basically getting the cargo out of Chinese shipyards or manufacturers, fabrications, and shipping them elsewhere. Whereas now, basically, you've got the whole chain with China involvement and control. Which basically comes to answer the question, yes, we're going to be cooperating more than before. We're making more partnerships now with the Chinese stakeholders in the whole chain of projects and multi-purpose shipping from the manufacturers, from the fabricators, towards the logistics and freight forwarders, even to carriers. And we see more and more Chinese operators now getting ships on time charter, on voyage charter, whereby they operate themselves. And we realize that trend, and we acknowledge and we understand that trend. We passed already our experience, our expertise, our know-how to the Chinese operators already. And creating joint ventures on a shipment basis, creating long-term COAs on certain cargo volumes, and basically partnership with EPCs and major freight forwarders for carrying out the project needs. So it's this partnership is being ongoing. It's more than before, and I foresee it's going to be much more evident in the future.
I would just like to add that I agree with Harry. You cannot do a deal in China today in 3 hours, but 5 years ago it was weeks upon weeks to finalize the first negotiation and the approval. Once you do a deal, and that's where I align with Kyriakos, the next deal is very easy, very quick. You can get a yes or no probably within a day, and then follow up. We've never failed on a board approval level. So once you have an understanding from your financing partner in China, you know the deal is going to be concluded. That's huge progress in 5 years. And that's where you can move very quickly on an opportunity.
Based on what you just said, actually, can you elaborate a little bit more? Because you had you've been having an extensive track record as a group in China. Where do you see the benefit for the Chinese companies to deal, let's say, with a company like you, compared with other companies that have relations in China or on an early stage, let's say?
I think it's purely a track record. That's number one. If you've built your track record during the early years of the financing structure coming out of China, you are one of the first movers, so you have that advantage. Size is very important in Chinese business in terms of having a sizable fleet where you can offer sizable transactions, because the market is able to finance large transactions. Being public is a very important, offers transparency, very easy to carry out due diligence, very easy to calculate operating costs and what we're good at. So all that gives a lot of comfort to reach a stage where the approval committee will look at a project favorably. It takes time to get to that stage, but as I said before, if you are there, have done the business, especially during the difficult times of 2015 and 16 in dry bulk, you are a long-term partner to the Chinese counterparties.
Yeah, these are very valid points, but yes, please, Pierre. Add.
But you have to pick, and you have to pick your customers.
Of course.
Does anyone wish to add anything on this?
Well, just a comment on size, so to speak. I do wonder whether the entry of new lease cos, and you know, half a dozen years ago, the Chinese leasing companies were only the SOE or big bank controlled entities that were probably only looking for big ticket transactions where they could put a lot of capital to work all in one go. In the last couple of years, we've seen the emergence of smaller, privately controlled, non-bank aligned lease cos who may have a more entrepreneurial approach to business and may be interested in smaller ticket items where perhaps the returns they could see are potentially greater, especially, and I come back to this point I've mentioned before, especially if they're prepared to take exposure to the asset and to the residual value.
Very good. Harris, apart from the very valid point, as we said, of the bureaucracy in China, finance-wise, based on your experience, how do you compare Chinese progress in this field with, let's say, the U.S. market that you referred earlier on, or the international one, as far as debt or equity finance is concerned for non-Chinese companies?
Well, as we speak, I think they are somewhere in the middle. They are the Chinese leasing compared to, I mean, based on how they price today, they are, if it's a financial lease, then it's a little more, not a little, it's more expensive than plain vanilla debt, but it's far less expensive than the products available in the US, the non-equity, if you like, common equity products. Obviously, you know, equity has a different kind of pricing philosophy behind it. But I would say they are somewhere in the middle. Today you're looking for, I mean, in our case, our cost of debt is, the all-in cost of debt is around 3%. On a sale and leaseback today, in the Chinese market, you are looking anywhere the 5.5% to 6.5%, and in the U.S. on the, you know, sort of senior notes, the bonds, the, you know, the preferred equity kind of products, you are looking at anywhere between, you know, today in this market 8% to 9%. Obviously, different dynamics, different you know, mechanics behind each deals, but you know, it's a very it's a very interesting a capital source that should be explored. You know, the benefit, hopefully, of having a number of or an increasing number of Chinese financial houses interested in this stuff, hopefully it could make pricing a little more competitive. But it's there, it's available, and we all need to, you know, and we owe it to ourselves and the company and the shareholders to explore it. We cannot ignore it. It's there. As I said, it's a very viable source of capital. It fills a void. And particularly if you have new buildings, young assets, and rightly so, these are the assets that this market is focusing on, then it's something that could make sense.
Yeah, I personally fully agree with you. Does anyone want to wish to add anything on this?
Sure. Well, when we first completed the first Chinese financing transaction 5 years ago, we're holding our breath to see how it will conclude. We're very skeptical about follow-up and logistics to finalize documentation. It came as a fantastic surprise to deal with extremely professional legal entities and counsels to the banks supporting the transaction. That was huge, especially for a public company willing to do something quickly. We feel there is significant progress in terms of the attitude and approach of Chinese financing, especially through very difficult times, the worst market of the dry bulk sector in the last 25 years. We find that Chinese financing is flexible. It's market-oriented. We're a public company, but we are Greeks. We want our counterparties to think about market cycles and understand what is coming. And we've had tremendous support. And financing is actually getting cheaper in China. Very quick reaction to developments in the LIBOR market. We actually see now offers at around 3%, which compared to like 5 years ago was mission impossible. So we have a very big faith in the market, apart from its capacity to finance projects.
Excellent. Well, the only thing I can add is, because we are almost running out of time, is that, you know, the beauty of shipping is that it's certainly an international business and nobody really can corner it. Whoever tried to corner it, most of them burned their fingers. And one of the leading factors is extroversion. You have, the Chinese nation needs the rest of the world, and the rest of the world, of course, needs the Chinese nation. And certainly, they should not fall in the more stronger they become, they should not fall into the trap like the Japanese fell a few decades ago with Japan Inc. And it's very difficult to do a business in Japan unless you're Japanese or extremely high profile. The more the finance sector opens up for the rest of the world, the more money finally will end up again in China, because mainly these are for projects in China, China related. So in a way, the way I see it, the money comes out from the left pocket to the right or vice versa. But with proper partnerships, with strategic ventures, with the right people who know what to do with this kind of properties. Thank you very much. I don't want to take more of your time. It's been a long day for all of us. Any questions, please? Then Nikos and the team should be very happy because we are on time. Okay. Thank you very much for all. Yeah.